Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 42. I just kind of want to start with this because as we were singing and worshiping, I feel like the Lord wants us to understand that He's warring on our behalf and that we're also called to be warriors. Someone gave me a picture of the cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz and then a lion that was running, full-blown tilt, said, "Which one do you want to be?" And I kind of said, "Well, I've been a little bit of both. But I want to be courageous in the things of God. I want to stand firm in my convictions and the principles that God has for us." And in Isaiah 42, before I get into the message, says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. We can trust him. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth." We can count on that. "And the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out. He created everything. Who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it, who gives us breath." They say in the old Jewish language that one of the first words, Jewish words, represents breath, the breath of God. And even when you say it, it sounds like, or his name, Yahweh, Yahweh. And they say that the first thing that you really say, and you're not even aware of because he gives the breath, is his name when you take your first breath. And the last breath, oh, Yahweh, Yahweh. This is what they believed. That's what that, his name meant, breath, means many things. He who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. He says, "I am the Lord. I've called you into what? Righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison." Verse 8, "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass." And this is what I believe for you tonight, in this little gathering. "Now I declare new things before that they would spring forth. I proclaim them to you, that your dreams and your visions and your callings and your destinies and your creativity will come back to you. And you will spring forth in what God has called you to do. You'll find your future in him. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains everywhere. Let them give glory to who? To the Lord. And declare his praise in the coastlands." Verse 13. "The Lord will go forth like a warrior, and he will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes, and he will raise a war cry. And he, the King of glory, the one who was crucified, that died on your behalf, that loves you, he will prevail against his enemies." This is good news. This is part of the gospel. that we would know this, that we would embrace it, that we would hold on to it. What Jamie was just singing, the Lord is my strength, my hope. He knows my future and He will lead me. And so tonight, I just pray that God would seed something in your heart, that He would cause you to prevail in your calling and in your destiny and who you're called to be in Him. That something would awaken inside of you, that your song would come alive again. Because everyone in this room has a song. Everyone. Everyone out there walking in the mall, they have a song. They have a creative destiny in God. It may not be a singer or a musician. It may be something completely different. But God is the creator of all things, created this for us, and He created you to be what? Creative. And so God wants to stir that up in you so that your song would arise, that you would hold to your purpose, that you would find Him to be righteous, that you would be led by Him and know that He has a strong hand to lead you forth. So God is, I believe, speaking to a lot of people right now, all over the earth. I believe there's a great separation coming. God loves everyone. But the line is being drawn in the sand, and there's a great separation coming. People have mocked and made fun of Him for years. He is who He said He is. Now, everyone has a testimony, but even in Romans chapter 1, it speaks about this. It doesn't let anybody have an excuse. It says, because He created the heavens, sun, the earth, the moon, stars, He created everything. Every person is accountable because something inside of them knows, even if they claim to be an atheist, something inside of them knows that something has created them and everything. And Romans 1 says, you're without excuse. Yes, the gospel needs to be preached all over the world, but the fact is this. God is making us aware of who He is and what He is. Worship is going to be rising. I shared with a couple friends earlier today, and I had this thought before I kind of get into this about worship and worship that's really centered before the Lord. I mean that people that are captivated to allow Him to come forth, to let the song of the Lord begin to arise within them. It doesn't have fear about what people think. And I started thinking about Hurricane Katrina. And I was thinking about the dome and all the terrible things that happened in that dome. It was terrible. It was wrong. It was bad. And then I've had this thought, even when it was happening, so many people were coming with water and different things to help. It took them a while. But I always thought about this. What if you had a couple singers, a guitar player, a couple percussionists, and they lived in the song of the Lord in their life, and the anointing of God was continually on them because they positioned themselves for that to take place? What if, besides taking water into that dome, they walked in with their music and they sat down in a little corner of that dome and they began to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And they began to sing a song that they were created to sing onto the Lord in the midst of all that chaos. What do you think would have happened? I believe that the atmosphere would have changed. So God wants worshiping warriors that aren't afraid to walk in any circumstance. And even in the days ahead, this is a preparation for the things that are coming. He's preparing you for what He has prepared for you. And God is trying to get our attention to say, listen, what matters more than anything is that you have this relationship, you have a life of worship, and you allow your heart to be alive in Me. Your heart alive, the essence of who you are. So there's a challenge to all of us in this room to live in our song, to live in how God has created us to live. In 1517, there was a young man who was asking a lot of questions during that time frame. And this young man, he nailed a thesis to the door of the church, which was unheard of. And some of you may know who he is, you may not. But his name was Martin Luther. It was a Reformation. The reason I'm pointing an attention to that is because I believe we're almost in that same place today. He nailed that thesis to the door of the church. And here's what it was. It was basically questions. There were some statements, but there were questions that he was presenting to the religious system of that day. The present system of that day was entangled with the political realm, with the military realm. It was caught up in the systems of the world and the powers to be. That guy, Martin Luther, he stood up with courage and he asked some questions and he had conviction and he challenged just about every one of their ideas. Think about it. It had never been challenged before. And he challenged every one of their ideas. And the church of that day called him a heretic and many other things. He challenged them. And this is, if you could sum it all up, this is how he challenged them. He challenged them and said, God wants to have a relationship with his people. And you're not allowing that to happen. He challenged them to let the people know the abundance of God's grace and his mercy, to know the word, to read the word. Matter of fact, it said that he heard a man, a blind man, singing the songs of the Lord, and he was singing the word and he recognized it. And most people didn't know the language, the Latin, and he was singing the Psalms. And it changed Martin Luther. And he said, they've got to know the word. They've got to be, things have to be changed. And so he challenged everyone. He wanted people to know the access not only to God's grace, but the power of his blood and what was shed for them. This was Martin Luther. And so, as I'm speaking about worship, it is only in the place of worship, it is only in the place of intimacy, of knowing God, that you can get the fortitude and the courage to stand for what you know is truth. And I believe that God is raising up people, and he's raising them up in love, so that we will not just go off and cause more problems, but we will speak in love and we will speak truth. When there's revelations that come to a chosen generation, and I believe that you are a chosen generation, because you are of the generation of the Lord's return. I believe that he will come back in our time. I don't know when, nobody knows when, but I believe you're a chosen generation. And when you stand for truth, when you stand to have your heart complete in God, what happens is it causes conflict and controversy with people around you. If people are in a system of religiosity and they become comfortable with it and they've kind of found their place and they're no longer singing their song, anytime you begin to rise up in who you are in Christ and your song begins to come forth, conflict begins to happen. They don't like it. I'll tell you, the first church that I went to after I was radically saved, this was an ongoing thing. They said, don't worry, he'll chill out. He's just radical. He's got to get it out of him. It won't be long. He'll be like everybody else. And that was a true statement. That's what they believed. And I couldn't believe it. And we kept bringing people. It was a huge church. And people were getting saved. But see, what happens is when you begin to push the envelope in your faith, in your intimacy, in your relationship, you begin to press against something. And it's a religious system. And God is wanting us to be free in our worship. God wants us to be able to shout and to dance. God doesn't, you know, if somebody is drawing complete attention to themselves and taking the attention away from Him, I don't like that at all, especially if it's coming from a wound. But when somebody is truly worshiping in spirit and truth, and you know their heart, and you know who they are, I say, go for it. Have at it. Rejoice. Sing your song. So when things begin to happen with generations like this generation and called to be worshiping warriors, there's conflict and controversy. But if you can guard your heart in the midst of that and get healing, you'll begin to have revelation. You'll begin to receive revelation. The season will shift. And the season will shift into a place where people will be converted almost. There'll be conversion. And there'll be conviction. Because you're following after your heart. And you're not following after the ways of the world or a religious system. Are you with me so far? I don't want to go back through everything that I spoke on Sunday. I think God wants to do something a little different. Can you put the word heart up on the screen? I want you to look at this word. Can you get it, Josh? There it is. Hey, you spelled it right. Good job. Josh is a stickler on that. The word heart. Look at that word. Just look at it. The battle is over your heart. If you look at this word, what do you see in it? What words do you see in it? Can you see he? The word he? Can you see the word hear? Can you see the word ear? And if you look real hard, kind of move things around a little bit, you can see the word earth. And then you can also see the word art. I want to pray for an impartation and understanding of this word tonight. You know the scripture, it says, he who has an ear to hear what God is saying to the church. You that have an ear to hear what God is saying, and you find it beautiful in God, you find it pleasing, it will make its way into your heart in such a way, who has an ear to hear, that all of a sudden your art will begin to come forth from your heart. So you look at this heart in a different way, because every one of you, you want to deny it, you want words of the past to say that you're nothing, that you can't do anything, that you don't have creativity. Every one of you in this room, every one of you in this room have a heart. You have a heart. And when you find God's heart to be beautiful, when you listen and you hear, then the art, the creativity that God has in you can begin to be released in your life. I believe that's what's going to happen. There's an expression of creativity in every area of our life. And it comes from a motivation of love. You see, he, hear, ear, earth, art. It's an expression through your heart. The heart is the beginning of your creativity. It's the beginning. I challenge you tonight to carry something fresh and new out of this place. I challenge you tonight to let the Lord speak to you in a quiet way, or maybe in a radical way, to give your heart completely to Him, a heart of worship. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to the heart of creativity. I'm coming back to the heart of my purpose and who He's called me to be, the one who created all things, who is uncreated. Wants you to flow in your creativity and who God's called you to be. He wants to impart something to you tonight. Sometimes if you get teaching after teaching and teaching after teaching, you get a lot of information, but your heart still doesn't get penetrated. My heart tonight is that your heart would be penetrated in a powerful way, that things would begin to change, that even in the night seasons tonight, that things would come to you, that the Lord would speak to you about how beautiful your heart is. and your expression before Him. Let's pray for an impartation tonight. Let's ask the Lord to impart something to our hearts. Let's ask the Lord, give us an ear to really hear. Let's ask the Lord to sow a seed of revelation into our spirits, our spirit man tonight. Let's ask Him that our hearts would come alive. Now, I'll tell you what. This is really heavy on me. God wants you and wants myself to be stirred up about the urgency of the time in which we're living. To awake to what we see around us. To not bring judgment and condemnation to anybody, but to begin to know Him where you can get in a place where it's quiet and you can hear His voice and you can get with Him. He wants you to fight for that. Find a place that you can get quiet and just listen and hear what He has to say. If your day, every day, is just crowded with distractions and you don't allow yourself to become creative or even hear the voice of the Lord. They say that a man or a woman has 70,000 thoughts a day. I ask you this question. Some are good, some are bad. 70,000. How many of those 70,000 thoughts might be a song, might be a poem, might be a prophecy, might be something that God just wants to release through you, but because you haven't gotten that place, your confidence is way down, and you can't recognize the voice that needs to be speaking to you on a daily basis. God wants to free our hearts and have the courage to follow Him. This isn't about voice ministries. It's not. It has nothing to do with it. This is about a kingdom culture that is coming with men and women that are sold out. They don't get caught up in the petty little things. They love Him and they love each other. And they're letting God speak to them about who they are. See, each and every one of you, you have to believe it. You have to get to the place to know that you were created for greatness. You were. And you know, it's not arrogance or pride sometimes when you think that, man, I want to do something great for God. No, you know why you want to do something great for God? Because you were created in the image of God. And He's great. And so you want to do great things for God. There's nothing wrong with that. But love has to be able to sift it and take care of it. I don't know about you, but I came to a point in my life that I did not want to live in what my family was handing down. I didn't want to live in that anymore. I wanted to be able to break alcoholism in my life, addiction in my life. I wanted to be able to break through that stuff and find out what it really means to, man, have a moment where I feel like I'm right with God and I can hear His voice. And if you don't know that, if that hasn't happened, God wants you to position yourself so it can happen. God does not want to exalt man. He wants to be exalted. Because why? Not because He's some arrogant God. It's because He has the answer. And His answer is always motivated from a place of love. Of love. And it will never end. That's what justice and judgment is about. It's about a God of love. And finally, all the men and women that have been abused through what we've heard that's happening, finally, justice arrives on the scene. And everything that hinders love, God begins to do away with. This is a day that's coming. And all I can tell you is I want to be ready, and I hope you want to be ready. And when I teach something like this and I speak something like this, guess what it does? It has the same effect on me that it has on you. It makes me accountable. Now I'm responsible for what I just heard. And what am I going to do with it? I got to respond to it. I'll make mistakes. I'll fall on my face, but I'll get back up because there's a song to be sung. I'm going to dream again. I have to say this one thing. When you step into your future with the Lord and this new time with God, when you step into it, you begin to realize, okay, if my memories can be good. I love photography. It captures a moment, can't be caught again. Memories can be great. But memories can also be bad. And if you live in your memories, and your memories are more powerful than your dreams that come from God, you're going to sabotage your life. You're going to railroad yourself. If your memories are more powerful than the dream that God put in your heart, you're going to wreck everything behind you. That means everybody else is coming behind you too. Children, whoever it is. You're going to wreck them. Because now you're living in memories. And you're not living in the dream that God has given you. Where do you want to live? I want to live in the dream. I want to live in the song. I want to be able to create and do things with the Lord. If you wake up, and I just heard somebody turn 34 and they thought they were really getting old, and they said, where did time go? I thought, 34? Give anything to be 34. Because time will go like this. 10 years will be gone, boom, there you are, and you're going, what happened? Even if you work for a living, you don't want to live every day making a living for yourself and living for everybody. You definitely want to provide. You don't want to just make a living. You want to make a life. Not just a living. You want to make a life for yourself and God. You want to believe and know. Most of us spend a lot of our time making a living and not making a life. Now listen to this. I'll close with this and we'll go to prayer. A lot of times people say, it's too late. It's passed me by. I'm not up to all this media stuff. You know, man, I just might as well just kind of let it go. Everything's passed me by. I say stand against that. And sometimes when we think it's too late, and we're afraid to dream again, then we become the one. Listen, we become the ones that makes rules and regulations over the young ones that want to dream. Think about it. A lot of rules and regulations are over our head because people forgot how to dream again. I don't want to be that way. I'm sure you don't either. This is for future dreamers. Why don't you go ahead and stand? What we did tonight, God inhabits the praises of His people. And I believe the Lord is saying to you and saying to me, I'm giving you permission to dream again tonight, if you will, if you'll trust me. Don't think it's passed you by. Because if you do, you're robbing the kingdom of God and not walking in your calling and destiny before Him. It's valuable. Are you dreaming? You dreaming?
Always.
Okay. Just had to check. You guys dreaming? Is this good for you to check you about dreaming? How many of you want to dream again? Okay. That's good. All right. One of these days you're going to be so free, you're going to just scream out, I want to dream again! Yeah, you don't care. Oh, be quiet, the monster. Or you get, you know, I got to be pretty careful. I got to tiptoe through the tithers. Everybody that's giving money, I can't get out of hand because I don't want those folks and scare them off. All that's going away. God's people is going to rise, be bold, be true, be loving, and be real. Be real. Let's pray. Michael, I'm just going to ask you, whatever you want to lead us in a song right now, whatever comes to your heart, just open up the eyes. And just pray right now for people to be awakened with songs, giftings, businessmen, books, kingdom dreams and purposes. I ask, Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, I just trust you with every man and woman in this place. I ask that you would help them and awaken them to the promise to step into the next season of their destiny. I ask that hope would arise, that we would be awakened tonight to your purposes, that we move forward in new grace with resurrected dreams. I ask tonight, God, as I prayed on Sunday, that no God idea or dream would be aborted today, but it would be birthed. So if you guys would just kind of close your eyes, you don't have to, but maybe just not to be distracted and just see what Michael's going to sing by the Spirit. And then if you need to come forward, we'll have a few folks that'll pray with you. Just pray that your dream that tonight would be a night of impartation, of a seed of revelation, would be planted tonight. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God.
I'm expecting anticipating.
Sing a new song, Lord. Yes, God. Tonight, God, I ask that you would birth things in folks, that hope would arise, that people would take a step into a new season with you. They would say yes. They're saying it not for anybody in the room, but just to you. That love would abound. We pray, Lord, that things would be awakened in their hearts. Yes, God. That they would have an ear to hear what you're saying. And that they would find you beautiful in their heart. And that it would make a way into the artwork of their life. Into your expression through them. do a work, Lord. I ask that you would help every doubting Thomas in this place to not go through any just going through the motions, but today there would be an awakening. There would be an expression that would be released. There would be a seed of revelation. There would be an impartation to every heart in this room, that they would have an ear to hear, that our hearts would come alive. Awaken our hearts, Lord. Awaken our hearts, we pray. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes. Yes, God. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Just wait a little more. If there's anyone else that wants to come forward, yes. Well, we're going to pray up here and keep it a place of worship. If you still want to come up, feel free to do that, and I'll pray with you, and others will. If not, I just pray that this message will be just rooted and grounded in you in a powerful way, and that you'll let your heart come alive, be an expression of who you're created to be, that you don't get into any mind grooves that take you away from your heart, mixing and mingling the ways of the world and not the ways of God's Word. He loves you and He will not condemn you. He'll just take you and help you. May the Lord bless all of you tonight, and may you go in peace. May this Word, May Isaiah 42 come alive. And may God give you revelation of Isaiah 42. What is God saying in Isaiah 42 about this time in which we're living? In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.